You might have heard of the donut economy, a concept that was founded in 2012 by Kate Raworth, economist at the University of Oxford, an economy defined as regenerative and distributive by design. What would it look like to put this into practice at a city level? What are the elements that form the donut theory? And in particular, what can we say about the food industry? Welcome to The Financial Bite. This episode is brought to you by Finadium. I'm your host, Anne Schmidt, and together we will explore leading topics in finance and economics. Interviews with thinkers, movers, and shakers in global finance to learn what's happening and what's next. Here with me today are Leonardo Conte and Fiorenzo Comini. Leonardo Conte is a PhD student in marketing and consumer behavior at USI Lugano, as well as a lecturer of international business economics and donut economics at Franklin University, Switzerland. He is also partnerships officer at Rethinking Economics, an international network of students and academics advocating for pluralism in economics teaching. Our second guest, Fiorenzo Comini, is a sustainability enthusiast and graduate master's student in business administration. He started as a business developer in the startup Too Good To Go, which business lies in the food waste sector. He's currently working in team operations at Startup Swiss Association. In the meantime, Fiorenzo is developing a research with the aim of framing the following question. What are the challenges and areas of improvements in terms of implementation and achievement of the sustainable development goals of companies across the Swiss agri-food supply chain? Great to have you both on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, and hi everyone.
So Leonardo, what is the donut economy?
So the donut economy is a model developed by Kate Raworth, a British economist from Oxford, and the main idea is to avoid overshooting the ecological ceiling, which here represents the outer circle of the donut as she depicts it, and without actually getting shortfalls in the inner circle, which represents instead the social foundation, so the economic, political, and social basic needs that any economy must have. The main pillar is to rethink the way in which economists see growth and economic growth in general. So in one of her TED Talks, she explains how a healthy economy needs to safe and make sure that it stays within the safe and just space for humanity, which is exactly the space between the social foundation and the ecological ceiling.
We are currently seeing an example of a major city attempt to put the donut theory into action on a local level. This city is Amsterdam. During the first wave that we had of COVID, Amsterdam decided to implement the donut theory in order to recover from the crisis. Are we seeing any other players approaching the donut economy?
Yes, certainly. So since 2017, when the book was published, there have been a lot of attempts to actually apply this groundbreaking model. And besides Amsterdam and the Netherlands, there has been attempts of taking the donut as a model to plan sustainable cities and nations. So we have examples in the UK, of course, where the model actually was born. And we have examples in the US, Philadelphia, Portland. We have a whole national plan in Costa Rica. And, Kate always stresses that economics is the mother tongue of public policy. And that's why she works a lot with policy training. So training governmental departments all around the world, even in intergovernmental bodies like European Commission, the United Nations. And of course, then we have also support for businesses and circular economy actors like the C40, the Circle Economy, and even the World Economic Forum developed a guide on how to do business within and with the donut.
I also wanted to talk about the theory behind the True Price Initiative, also adopted by the city of Amsterdam. Can you tell me more about this topic?
So to understand the True Price Initiative, we need to understand how prices are set in economics. In any economy, usually the supply and demand are the ones that actually set the final price that consumers pay for. And what happens is that most of the adverse impacts of certain economic activities within the supply chain do not actually fall on those conducting the economic activities themselves, so the businesses in that case, but mostly, for instance, on future generations and developing countries, if you think about air pollution, land exploitation, and other kind of hidden cost. So this happens either because mainstream economic theory doesn't account for them, or usually because they're very hard to be measured and calculated accurately. The True Price Initiative wants to embed and properly account for those costs. And that's why the true price is defined as the market price plus the social environmental costs in the whole value chain of a product. So for instance, any food product that we buy at the supermarket often doesn't include those environmental costs, such intercontinental transportation, cargo ships, air pollution, and other social costs like farmers' salary, etc. And the True Price Initiative wants to embed those in the consumer price.
Thank you for your insights, Leonardo. Coming to the topic of the food industry, which is directly connected to the donut economy, Fiorenzo, since this is very much your field, can you tell us more about what is happening in this industry?
Sure. Just as a premise, we all know that food is vital and we cannot live without it, like we could do for other industries, for example. And it has impacts on many aspects worldwide, like the society, environment, the economy. And then it's huge. The food market worldwide is worth $8 trillion. And it will continue to grow as we're expected to be more than 9.7 billion by 2050. And at the same time, there is the climate crisis, which is becoming increasingly pressing. And now I just want you to imagine, for example, the coffee you're drinking every morning. You hardly think of it, but it came from far away. Maybe Colombia, Vietnam, or Ethiopia. It all started from a seed growing to a tree, and then a berry, and then it was handpicked by farmers, it was harvested, and then it was transported to one or more plants, where it's processed, milled, roasted, and packaged. Then the final product is finally distributed to many countries all over the world. This implies resources that are invested across the supply chain, such as soil, nutrients, pesticides, the farmers working on the fields, water, electricity, fuel, and so on. Yet, not all food supply chains operate sustainably, and this is where we can actually make the connection with the donut. These chains usually produce in irresponsible ways, using tremendous amounts of the aforementioned resources, as well as causing greenhouse gases emissions, waste, the problem of eutrophication, biodiversity losses, increased land conservation, and so on, while food is basically stretching all of the nine boundaries of the donut. So food is endemically impactful. And for this reason, we have to address it like kind of holistically and urgently to change the direction of the path that it's taking. We don't have to point only the fingers at the governments or the companies. We have to point it at us.
Of course, it's about consumers being informed of the purchases they do. And of course, it is us consumers that have to take action. On the other side, there are also companies that should encourage this sort of behavior. I also wanted to ask you, what sustainable investments can we see in the food industry?
So the end goal is to make food value chains more sustainable and efficient. However, there are many problems and threats, and this is where usually investments should want to aim at. Let's think first of all that food value chains are also networks, and they have to be participative, data-driven, and meeting the dietary shift. Now thinking about something to enhance efficiency, we can think of the phenomenon of vertical farming, where less water is used, it's a more controlled environment, it's more consistent, data-driven, the quality of the crops is better. So companies like Plenty, Freight Farms, and so on. Then there is also precision farming, which is basically farming baked, again, by data and tech tools like drones to use less pesticides or to automate operations and monitor nutrients and resources. And here there are startups like OneSoil, Wise Crops, and Aquabotics. And then a third one, we have to enable sustainable value chains. We need them to be more transparent and traceable. So we have to use IoT interconnected to platforms. So maybe like blockchain solutions, like EgoTrace. There is also the phenomenon of genetically modified enhanced food. So recently I got to know about this Finnish startup called Solar Food, and they're managing to generate protein from mere thin airs. So like CO2 is transformed via natural fermentation process into an enriched food nutrient. So, which I think it's crazy, right?
It is completely crazy. I cannot even imagine such a product. Have you tried this sort of product in your life?
Well, unfortunately not. I think that still they're experiencing it. So I hope someday I'm gonna try it. And I think we all someday are going to try it.
Yeah, maybe. I guess we will see how things will evolve. Thank you, Fiorenzo. Now, here is my last question for both of you. Do you have any financial bite for us?
So I'd say, by paraphrasing your podcast title, we should bite the donut by investing in those activities that are based on the donut itself, on the model. And as Kate would say, those activities are the one that are distributive on one hand and regenerative by design on the other hand. So I'm thinking about some of the startups that Fiorenzo mentioned before, or any other business that is conceived within a circular economy picture.
On my side, my financial bite is a bit colorful. Why do I say so? Because I talk about the 17 colors of the SDGs, so the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. Independently, whether within or outside the food sector, I recommend the investors to use the SDGs as an entrepreneurial compass. How? Well, they should go through the SDGs and the 169 indicators and invest where they feel most knowledgeable and where their gut feelings is driving them.
Thank you very much, Fiorenzo and Leonardo. It was great to have this chat with you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to our Finadium podcast. We invite you to visit our website on finadium.com and to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for additional content.